I succeeded to get a pointer with the port AirPoint pointing via AirPoint, allowing for driverless pointing on and up to pointers. If they all work, I only could test 3 or 4. But it can happen that some pointer which never worked with the Linux, for example, chat or suddenly work.
That was a little hard to hear because there's a terrible echo in the voice.
I closed the window now to have less noise around me. Perhaps it helps.
Yeah, that helps.
Yeah,
so
that
you're
helps.
Talking about
so
AirPrint?
Yes. AirPrint is based on an Apple raster format. It is very, very similar to PWG raster, but it has mainly a much smaller header. And this was the first form of driverless printing, which Apple introduced years ago for their iPhones. And when I was browsing the CUPS source code, the CUPS JIT, what is coming, which new features are coming, in the next CUPS release, 2.2.2, there will be the libcups image library will support Apple raster, and in a way that filters raster to something filters, or that raster to something filters, for example, the raster to PDF and CUPS filters. With this library version, suddenly understands Apple raster, but it also can produce. But the library can also output Apple raster, and the raster to PWG filter of the new CUPS outputs Apple raster. So it is only a little bit juggling around with MIME cons, so that this is made use of. And I also have added I've also improved the support for driverless printing in CUPS, RAUSD and several things, including that it sets up automatically Apple raster printers and not only IPP everywhere printers. And for both Apple Raster and IPP Everywhere, I have also made a little utility in CUPS filters, which, for example, allows to set them up with the CUPS web interface, but in a way that that doing this, the PPD is on the fly generated by a IPP querying the printer, and so you get the driverless printing with a legacy printer setup tool, can also be system config printer instead of the web interface, with a legacy printer setup tool, which is only made to set up printers with the drivers. You can also set up driverless printers. With the PPD generated out of the printer's information. No need of pre-made PPD, so that it's still truly driverless. But the little tool can allows you also to manually send a query to the printer and get the PPD back.
It's a printer's version of the PPD.
The printer becomes when the printer with the printer setup tool, you usually have set, you have turned on the printer so that the setup tool finds the printer in the first place.
Right.
And yes, and also what CarbSprouse was able to do all the time was setting up network printers completely automatically if it knew them, if it knew that these printer, the printers protocols and PDLs. And there I naturally added Apple Raster to the known PDLs, and so this full automatic setup by CUPS Browse works also with Apple Raster printers.
Okay.
Okay.
Are you going to put a little bit in a note so I can put it in the minute?
Yeah, I always, as every time, put the change logs in a note for you so that you know all the things which were added to CUPS filters.
Okay.
And it is only a few days when CUPS 2.2.2 will appear, because what happened is before the Thanksgiving week on the Friday, Mike has done as a last upload, as a last commit to the JIT, bumping the version number to 2.2.2, and then he was not present in the Thanksgiving week, probably he has taken it off due to the holiday.
Right.
This week he was present again, he has answered bug reports to me because I had found some stuff in CUPS and with system shut boot up and shutdown and so. And there he was answering, so this week he was back to work, but he did not do the repeat yet.
He's very busy with, and I don't do it in a minute, IPP 1.1, the RFCs, RFCs, authors 48K with RFC editor.
Yes.
I know that took quite a lot of his time early this week.
Early this week.
Yes, so then I know then probably only later this week there will be the release of the next CUPS version.
Great.
But up to now, to test out my new stuff, one has to take the CUPS from the JIT, because the stuff is not in a release CUPS yet, the support for Apple Raster. And CUPS filters, when you build it, when you compile it, it checks whether the CUPS is 2.2.2 or older to decide whether to build in the support for Apple Raster printers or not.
Okay.
And our, who was it last week, our third guy, he did not call in yet.
No, Matthew has not called in.
Yes, yes. And another thing is, Avik Basu, once he is also I have talked with him, and once he wants to test Lexmark printers, whether they print driverless via Apple or via PWG. And I've given him instructions how to build cups from JIT and so, and let's see whether he will succeed with that.
Okay.
Another thing is he wants to help finding, he wants to find students who do print dialogue work. So he wants to revive the common print dialogue. Perhaps then the basic idea of of having not the original design from Peter Sikkil, but a newer design from, which was done for Ubuntu, but with the basic ideas that every application can connect to it. For, so he liked, for example, the debug interface. And also, and also taking into account large and small screen and things like that, and different desktops, Unity, KDE, GNOME, and what his aim is at first to get the dialogue on one desktop and to get an interface to the application, so that one can show it off and then try to convince other desktops and applications to join. Yes, and it seems that there in India there are a lot of computing students, and perhaps he has contacts to universities over there, and so there are more chances to get people for that.
Oh, good. So I saw that you had a release in the end of November of CupFilters 1.12.0.
Yes, yes. But after that release, I've already done some additional things. Not much, but some things I've done. So that perhaps it could be worse when CUPS 1.2.2 comes out. When CUPS 2.2.2 comes out, to put out the 1.13.0.
Okay. So, yeah, if you send me,
Yes, the 1.13 will put in also the one important feature to make the driverless printer setup with legacy printer setup tools work.
Okay, I've made a note to myself. I'll correct it when I see. but that's very... So, Hill...
And in our legacy printer setup tools, meaning the web interface or system config printer, they only work with the conventional printer setup with the drivers. One auto detects the printer, finds out from the printer which model it is, and then in a local database or in a cloud database like OpenPrinting, you find out the information about the printer, usually a PPD file, with which you can control the printer. But the printer setup tools do not do IPP requests to the printer to get extended capability information. And so what I used a feature of CUPS. CUPS allows different ways to obtain PPD files. The PPD file can either be ready-made and somewhere in the directory tree of the distro, or the PPD file, there can be a PPD generator file which describes the PPD in a simplified form, which is in the user share cups driv directories, the files which DRV in the end. And there's a third way, in user libcups driver, there can be one or more executable files which are capable of generating PPDs. And my tool is one of these, such an executable file which queries the printer by IPP. And as you do not need to be root to query a printer by IPP, it's no problem that CUPS runs this program as the user LP.
Okay.
And so we have no problem to get in the on-the-fly query of the printer. And this IPP query of the printer, it only happens when in the printer setup tool you have already selected this printer under the discovered printers. So you don't wake up a printer which in the end you do not set up. So if there are driverless printers and you set up only one of them because the others are too far away for you, for example, then you don't wake up all the 10. But only the one which you query. And if it's an HP, you even do not wake up any of the printers, because with my HPs, I've seen that they do not get woken up by this IPP request. But Mike says that some printers get woken up. It's not...
It's not a feature of their IPP implementation, but their rather simple card implementation. Any query at all with the printer up, whether it's SMM card or IPP or anything.
Yes. And my tool, to avoid wake-ups, when my tool only lists the available printers and the available generatable PPDs, then it only uses the information of Bonjour, which is already there, which does not require wake-up of a printer, which a printer is probably broadcasting also if it's in power-saving mode. Or it is broadcasting it once and the computer is holding it. Somehow it is already there without need of a wake up of the printer. and this way the tool works. And one very important condition for now is you have to connect the ICP everywhere or Apple Raster Printer to the network so that it is advertising itself with Bonjour.
Right.
And it can be queried by ICP. On USB it does not work yet. For USB one probably has to do it a little bit different. For at least one has to use ICP over USB so that you can ICP query it.
Right.
And which I've already succeeded with. I have ICP queried my ICP over USB printer and it showed the capability. But probably you will have to replace the Bonjour browsing by the usual way to find ICP printers. And I've seen by the usual way to find USB printers, and I've seen that in the device ID of the printer is written some ICP stuff. So probably an ICP everywhere printer connected via ICP over USB tells about itself that it's an ICP over USB printer somehow by the device ID, so that you can find ICP over USB printers, and when you have an ICP USB printer you can query it for its capabilities, and when it sends enough capabilities and knows a common language you can auto set up it without driver. So ICP everywhere and Apple OS stuff through USB should principally work. One only needs to know more printers, and one only needs to know what exactly in the device ID tells you that this printer is an ICP over USB printer. There's no password to ICP over USB. One could, simply by when one thinks about hardware, one could even make an ICP over USB printer, which would have Bonjour and ICP, and would not even need an ICP over USB daemon on the computer. What one would need to do in the hardware is simply to take the electronics of a USB network card so that the printer is for the computer, for the Linux kernel, principally a USB network card. So the kernel connects to that network, and then the printer would send Bonjour broadcast through this new network, and one can ICP query through it. This would be a much more intelligent architecture.
It sounds interesting.
Then one also does not need a special ICP over USB protocol. And it's simply the normal ICP and the normal network Bonjour, and then it would exactly work like a network printer, but it's connected to USB.
I don't quite understand that, but okay.
Okay.
Imagine you have an ICP network card. This is a little adapter which has imagine you have a USB network card. It's a little adapter which has a USB plug on the other end, and an Ethernet socket on the other. This you can this you usually connect to a laptop which has only Wi-Fi, no wired Ethernet. So to get wired Ethernet.
Okay.
Now you can imagine you have a network printer with Ethernet connector, and you connect this adapter with a cable to the printer. Then this unit, the printer with the Ethernet cable and the Ethernet to USB adapter, this whole unit you connect once with the power socket so that the printer gets power, and to the computer you connect it by USB, so it's a little bit like a USB printer. But the Linux kernel or operating system in general in the computer, they does not see in the first place a printer but a network card, a USB network card. And so it creates a network. In this network, as soon as it creates, it receives bonjour broadcasts from the printer. So the computer recognizes the printer, in case of Linux via a Wahrheit daemon in Kapsprousby. In Kapsprousby, it sets up a queue and does the usual ICP query to generate PPD. And so the IPP everywhere printer connected to USB is connected and working. And now imagine that the Ethernet cable in the USB to Ethernet adapter are inside the printer, and out of the printer simply comes the USB cable. So you have a USB printer which perfectly works with any computer which supports IPP everywhere.
This is interesting. I think I'll have to write it up a little bit so we could post it.
Yes, this would be much better than the current IPP over USB as I have observed it up to now.
Real clear on why it's an improvement. IPP over USB gives a dedicated port for HTTP and IPP, which is discoverable.
Yes, IPP over USB naturally is clearly defined, I think, by the USB organization or so. The only thing is one does not have a lot of printers for testing.
Yeah, it's a USB
to really get the work.
I have a couple of things I want to touch base on. I did start yesterday working for again on security standards. So Mondays through Wednesdays, I can't run over on any call. So I actually need to get back and get my lunch before 1 o'clock. We had this discussion on the Suzuki-san on OPVP, and I already put something in the notes that action is, to me, is so open, but that there's discussion of progress and
progress. You are completely interrupted. Hello?
Sorry, there is a terrible echo. The echo is about a second off. Sorry about that. It's on the bridge or somewhere. It says my end or clear. I wonder if we dialed back in, so we might get a clearer bridge.
Yes, yes, I could do that.
Why don't we try dropping the bridge and burst pilot in Texas?
The only thing is that the recording will be,
Oh, you're right. It would interrupt that.
It would interrupt that.
Yes.
Well, then,
I guess
it's pretty hard for me to speak because the echo is covering
me.
Google Summer of Code. We have to submit project application
between
19 January and 9 February.
Yes, yes. Then to apply as a mentoring organization.
Right.
And so before this time a window ends, we have to have some project ideas up.
Right, so we need to decide about OPVP.
Yes, yes. So that perhaps one, someone could make a better OPVP filter. One thing is, in general, one can also use GoScript for OPVP instead of Poplar. And Poplar is not suitable or when Poplar upstream does not want to accept an OPVP output device in Poplar, then we always can go with GoScript for that. As this method of printing to OPVP and appropriate printers which use OPVP driver, this is a high graphics language usually in the printer because OPVP is a vector protocol. This, I think, and so it's always printing, and in general OPVP is printing with a driver, it's not driverless printing. This in general means that there is some PC-like computer input. It's the computer where the driver is running. So it's an untypical setup for phones. Phones would talk to the printer with a raster, with PWG raster, ICP everywhere, or Apple raster or so. And so it's unlikely we run OPVP drivers on a phone. And so I think it would be then good enough when GoScript is able to serve the input on the OPVP driver. It does not need to be served on the PDF.
Kill, are you using a speakerphone?
No, no. I'm using a cell phone.
Huh.
But I'm using it as a normal phone, not with speaker.
Huh. I don't know. There's this terrible echo. Perhaps if you stay on and I drop off and try dialing back in to see if I can get a clearer line.
I found it out. I've somehow accidentally hit the speaker. I hope it's better now. Hit the touch screen button for the speaker.
Let's
Is it better
test.
Now? What?
Yes.
Oh,
it's
yes.
That
was
it.
The problem.
It was the echo through your speakerphone. Okay.
Yes, yes.
So,
I was simply not aware.
We know to check that in the future.
Yes.
Okay, Barry, I'll send PWG updates. They're all good news, very good news. IPP3D printing moved ahead several months in schedule and is now in PWG last call, and so did Finishings 2.1 with the updates that, a variety of updates that Smith did. At the face-to-face meeting in November. And as I said earlier, but I don't think you managed to hear me, the IPP 1.1 RFCs are in Authors 48, the last stage with the RFC editor and have been given RFC numbers. They will be RFC 8010 and 8011. That is, they kept the same last digits for the two RFCs, so they gave us a pair again. Mike has been working on that a lot for the last 2 weeks, actually. Well, more than that, but this author's 48 just this week. But for 2 or 3 weeks before that, with the RFC editor, there's a good chance that these will be published yet this year, in 2016.
Yes.
They will be Internet proposed standards, but with all the IPP everywhere and IPP 2.0 full standard work, we have plenty of interoperability evidence to move IPP 1.1 in the ITF to full Internet standard, perhaps later next year, and hopefully without updating the RFCs at all.
Ah, yes, that's great.
And Mike did do an update of the IPP self-certification, the everywhere self-certification tools, not the spec, but the tools, in the middle of October, and people at least several vendors have been using it. And just the other day, HP certified 6 more printers, so although some of those I know are different countries with basically the same model, there are 25 models of certified printers now listed on the business.
Yes, new additional ones, because something like 25 I had already, which are really by hardware only 5, which I've counted.
Yeah, I think there were 19, and now there are 25 when I counted.
Ah, so that new printer was added, which has something like five names in different countries.
Could be. I don't know the details.
Mostly only because they have a different power plug.
Right.
Or that a certain number, a certain model number in one country can be easily confused with another product. I've already seen this with cameras. So, for example, in Germany, there's a Panasonic G85 in the US. In UK, it's the G80, and in some other European countries. And in Germany, it's the G81. Probably there's some other product which does not need to be a camera, and which is probably not from Panasonic. That is called G80, which you can buy in Germany. And they do not want that the camera gets confused with it. So there are things like that, and for this reason, product names can change in different countries.
Yeah, I think besides power cords, still the other reason they sometimes change is because of the default language and local character set.
Yes. Here the Office 200 and 250. So it seems there are two models, 200 and 250, and with regional variations, they come. The 200 comes as 200, 200C, 202, and 202C. And the 250 comes as 250C.
I'm guessing that C suffix usually it means color.
Yes. But I would not think that the 200 without the C, I cannot imagine that you get the 200 without the C, which is black and white, that you nowadays can still get a black and white inkjet printer.
Certainly in laser printers, they have many new models which are black and white only.
Inkjet, I've
I've never seen a black and white inkjet printer after the HP DeskJet 500, which is 18 years ago or so. No, not much more. 28 years ago.
Yeah, long time. Yeah, I had a DeskJet 500. In fact, Nancy and I used it to produce a magazine 25 years ago.
Yes. I have printed my diploma thesis, master thesis in 1989 with it.
Yeah, we were using it from 1984 through 1998 to produce the Camera Ready Masters before, the era of sending things off electronically.
Yes, yes. Nowadays, you still find it on eBay.
Actually, it produced extremely good quality output. A bit slow, but we didn't care. It was a master for a magazine. Hundreds of pages. I think I covered the main IPP news. IPP system service is moving along very well. We did review it just last Wednesday, and I have more updates to do, and we will review it again. Not this week, but next week on the regular Wednesday IPP meeting, and talk about the results of last call. We may have to extend those last calls because it's hard to get quorum, close to the holidays like this. So for Google Summer of Code, Till, I suggest that you and I do some work by email and not just in our one meeting in second week of January, to try to collect projects and figure out what we want to do. And in particular, one of them might be, I don't know, but possibly working with Avik Basu to, do a project around Common Print Dialogue.
Yes.
Which could be an Indian student that he found, but I mean making it a Google Summer of Code project.
Yes. And this was also his intention to do it as a Google Summer of Code project.
Okay.
Or more than one.
Would you start an email thread with me and Avik right away? About
yes.
Google Summer of Code?
Yes.
And because I think we better work on it by email this month, or otherwise I don't know how we'll be ready in January.
Yes. And I have also some news from Lexmark, from Avik. Avik tells that in Lexmark there are IPP Everywhere printers in the works, and so around the end of the year, beginning of the next year, they will appear in the PWG list.
Oh, good.
But for now, he does not have IPP Everywhere printers yet. For now, his testing is done on Apple Raster.
And another thing, because of black and white and color inkjets, here in the list there's also marked whether a printer is color or black and white, and all the printers I mentioned are in color.
There's even no black and white at all in the list, but this probably is because all the printers in the list are inkjets.
Okay. I see. Okay. I wanted to reconfirm our meeting times for the next couple of months after our discussion
yes.
last month. So
yes.
Tuesday, January 10th, the second Tuesday.
Yes, that's okay.
And then in February, we have conflicts the first 2 weeks with standards meetings elsewhere The second week is the PWG face-to-face at Apple, not the joint meeting. The joint meeting has been moved to April 25th through 27th at HP Palo Alto in Silicon Valley.
It is now decided that it is at HP. Great.
That's the way it got posted last week, yes, by Smith.
Yes.
I will not be able to travel to that, partly because of my work schedule, and that's right when I'm moving home, but also too because I'm not supposed to fly on airplanes for 6 months after these two surgeries I had last month and a month before that. It's unsafe for me to make an airplane trip. So I will be calling in remotely to the joint meeting and trying to arrange topics into the later sessions because my Monday through Wednesday work schedule means that there's no way I can take whole days off, I don't think. It's far enough out. I may be able to work the Thursday and Friday for Chrysler tasks that week so as to be able to call. The thing is, it's Tuesday through Thursday. That's 3 days, so it's hard for me to get in 3 full days worth of work for Chrysler, too, but I kind of have to if I can.
Yes.
February, we talked about last month, and we thought we'd better go ahead and meet in the third week. So it's Tuesday the 21st. Is the meeting.
It's okay. Yes.
Till actually, I might very well be able to move back into the first week of February because that Tuesday, the Trusted Computing Group meeting, it's sessions that I wouldn't be able to attend anyway. You know, they're plenary sessions. They don't have a teleconference, is what I'm trying to say badly here. So let's...
Yeah.
What about Tuesday the 7th of February? Would you do that?
No problem for me.
Okay, I'm going to move it back.
We can do it.
And just show that there's a conflict for people who are at the Trusted Computing Group face-to-face, but, well, they are. And that avoids crossing Brasilia out of Brasilia summertime because it's earlier in February. I just fixed this. So we will cross out in late February. And in later March, mid-March the U.S. and late March Europe. So if we do as planned, March 7th, the first Tuesday in March, that also would be good. And this first Tuesday in February till would also be really good for us because of Google Summer of Code, I think. I'm looking. Yeah. The last date to submit is the 9th of February. So let's just go ahead and move it back to the 7th as we just talked about. And I'll make a special note of that when posting minutes. I mean, I'll put a yellow highlighted banner that we've moved the February meeting back.
Yes.
Okay. I think that's all I wanted to cover today, and we're just about up to the hour. So thank you for all your good work on cups, and you'll send me a note, and it will be definitely later this week before I have time to write the minutes, but I will get minutes out by the weekend, if not before. If you get an update on cups, filters, and the planned stuff for cups 2.2.2 that you told me about. And also these legacy printer support things with AirPrint and so on. That's very interesting. Okay. Thank you, and we will talk again second week of January. I don't think I have anything else. Please feel free to send me email anytime you want till, and, you know, on what about Google Summer of Code or printer testing or anything else. And, you know, I'll be as much support as I can.
Okay.
Okay, good. Thank you. So, have a good afternoon.
Thanks. Bye.